one wastewater agreement for your consideration this morning, and it is Sussex County Project Number 81-04 at Americana Bayside. It's a DelDOT Segment 3 with a pump station. This is Agreement Number 672-1. The developer in this case will be Mr. Doug Brown of Selbyville, Delaware. The location will be on East Sand Cove Road and will become part of the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District. The service will be provided through this construction for a DelDOT Segment Number 3 main line force main and a pump station. There will be no connection charges, but we already do have the approvals from our engineering department as well as DENREC. We're expecting 60 days of construction with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $73,922.85, with a proposed construction cost of $492,819. I have a motion.
Please, sir.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 672-1, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and the Carl M. Freeman Communities for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Americana Bayside, DelDOT Segment Number 3, located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District.
So moved. Motion, second. Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion?
That's processed at Scruff?
Yes.
Okay. More questions on the motion? I'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
Ladies and gentlemen, I also wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that our Delaware State General Assembly is back in session, and I just have a couple of things I'd like to go over with you as they start their work. I just have four pieces of legislation to discuss with you this morning. The first is House Bill 14, and this one really doesn't have a direct effect on County Council, but I thought you might be somewhat encouraged to see this legislation move through the process. This bill provides that any income and or capital gains received from easements preserving agricultural land shall not be taxed for the purpose of Delaware State personal income tax. This bill essentially would make income to a property owner for an ag preservation, those dollars would come in without state tax liability. That sounds like a pretty good arrangement. I just want to make sure you were aware of it. I won't take any position on it unless you tell me to as it moves through the legislative process.
It's for property acquisition, for
if you sell
eminent domain situations, right? Also farmland preservation situations?
If you have some
easements?
Personal property that the state decides to purchase either an easement from you or purchase the property for ag land preservation purposes, those income dollars to you will not have state income tax implications.
That's only if it was purchased by the state. It's not an easement that would be purchased by, for instance, the county.
Yes, it's for the ag preservation program. Okay. Another bill that I wanted to bring to your attention. This one we've worked before with a different number. House Bill 27. This bill establishes income tax interceptor feature for our layer of government to collect what would be state income tax refunds or any other state tax refund to an individual who has a tax liability either with us or a school district in our county. This bill, as you remember, under a different number, made it through the House last year and did not finish its clearances in the Senate before the end of the session. We're very optimistic that with the new expanded list of sponsors and co-sponsors, that this bill should pass through both houses of the General Assembly this session.
It says it's been released from committee?
It has been. I was there for the committee meeting. The committee voted unanimously to release the bill. It's on the House ready list, and it may be on the agenda soon.
And they voted it in a positive sense. It wasn't just on the record. Okay.
Oh, yes, yes.
So you're saying that people, if they owe, for instance, the county property tax, and they are due
a state income tax refund.
Refunds from the state.
We would have the ability to intercept that refund and use it to pay tax liabilities for the county or for one of our school districts.
Good, good.
House Bill 44, This legislation has been introduced in the House. I don't know that it's made it through committee yet, but the only implication this has on your domain is that it removes flying the American flag from any sort of local zoning law. Basically, this bill was brought forward by one of our Sussex County legislators, Mr. Atkins, to allow people to display an American flag either on a flag pole or off the front of their home, provided that it does meet all setbacks, which is basically the only zoning provision you would apply to it anyway. But it allows the right for the American flag to be flown without violating any local zoning ordinances.
Local zoning, but not homeowner association covenants.
Yeah, any local. Yeah, it would allow the flag to be flown even if there were homeowner association covenants. Yes, it's any local zoning control. Okay. Another bill that I want to bring to your attention has not yet been introduced because it has not gained enough sponsors for introduction. It's being circulated by a state representative from Newcastle County. I've tried to contact her to no avail. I've also spoken with the clerk of the peace in Newcastle County. I have not been able to catch up with our clerk of the peace. But this bill that's being circulated to gain sponsors would be the first leg of a constitutional amendment to remove the clerk of the peace from being an elected office in all three counties. I don't know what the motivation is behind this because I have not been able to contact the primary sponsor. And I also spoke with Mr. Bolden from Newcastle County. He didn't hear of it until I brought it to his attention. So it's brand new. The bill is being circulated around the House for sponsors. And Mrs. Hudson, who is the primary sponsor, has not yet returned my phone calls. I will keep you posted.
Is the job description in all counties the same?
I believe it is.
Clerk of the Peace.
I believe it is. It is an elected row office in all three counties.
And what is the goal? What is the purpose? I missed that.
I don't know. Well, this bill, if it were to pass, would be the first step in a constitutional amendment. You have to go through two general assemblies. This is the 147th. Then they'd have to bring it back 2 years from now and take it through the 148th General Assembly.
I understand the procedure. I didn't understand why, what is the real purpose of doing it?
That's what I've been trying to find out, Mr. Wilson. I don't know. I've been trying to reach the primary sponsor to find out what her primary motive is.
So
probably George Parrish has got something to do with it.
So in other words, a couple would go to, for instance, the court for a license, and they could be married by someone from on the court. Is that what they're saying? Instead of the county?
I'm really not sure what the alternative would be. This would just eliminate the clerk of the peace.
Mm-hmm.
As a row office.
As an
elected official.
It would probably still be a position or function that would be handled by the county administration.
Within the administration.
Within the three counties. I would assume that's how it would work.
They might want to do away with marriage altogether.
Maybe I hadn't thought about that.
They do call it clerk of the peace, and if they're marrying people, I'm not sure that that's...
Any more questions?
Those questions are...
Speak for yourself.
That's all I have.
I can't believe how happy I am.
Thank you, Mr. Godwin.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Lawrence Lank.
Look at Brandy's smile. She's happy too, right?
She's already married.
Mr. President, as he comes forward, I know this was brought up last week at the time that we were introducing ordinances, and it was asked to be put on the agenda. I'd just like to caution council that any discussions today would be involving only any future uses as opposed to the specific use that was referred to last week, because that ordinance was introduced and it will have a public hearing set up for it. But there was a desire to discuss, is there a need for a pilot program in the future for future uses?
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
I didn't know that that was what we were talking about, because they had approached us last week about that. I thought it was a brand new program out of your department, and I apologize for misunderstanding that.
My name's on the agenda.
Yes, it is.
Because I have a hat to come forward and take the abuse of counsel this morning on.
Oh no!
I talked to Everett earlier today, and he just asked me a question, and he asked me if I remembered any pilot programs that we've had in my few years with the county, and I don't remember any, to be honest with you.
When you've been here
that was handled through an individual.
Well, here's what was my thought when I heard what was going on. I just said, if we have an agricultural district, and we have agricultural uses, and if a farmer, I mean, we're not looking at every farming operation that comes down the pike. There's always new things and new this and new that, right? When it ventures, when it crosses the line and becomes an activity, a commercial activity, then I think the county gets involved because through a conditional use or a change of zone or something like that. So if an agricultural entity wanted to try something on a piece of ground that's privately owned, and DNREC maybe is checked off in the Department of Agriculture, why should we be involved at all? That was my question. So I would just say that it's just another agricultural activity. You know, now then, if they wanted to start if it's got something to do with composting or whatever, a composting business at this site, and it's that, and then refer to as an agribusiness, then obviously we would get involved. But at this point, when I heard the conversation, Everett, I don't know if you, I mean, I just saw no reason for the county, as long as they've maybe crossed their, you know, made sure they coordinated things with DNREC or the Department of Agriculture. Right? So just,
I agree.
Now maybe on this piece of ground, maybe on a specific piece of ground that has has certain approvals and certain conditions applied to it specifically, maybe that could be a problem. But just on a farm out there in Sussex County and some kind of agricultural innovative activity wanted to be tried by the agricultural community?
There's probably always an active demo project somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
But typically, as you just stated, it's been the Department of Agriculture or Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. You can also look at our own Center for the Inland Bays. They do a lot of demo projects on the James Farm down in Cedar Neck. They also go out into bays and do testing with the oyster-dripping clams, eelgrass, et cetera. There's always a demo project, but it's not something that's on the commercial side typically.
And likewise, Experimental Farm, University of Delaware Experimental Farm, there's opportunities for things.
So I would just think at this point we would stay out of it.
Absolutely.
I mean, just my thoughts.
And again, we're not talking about the application that ordinance, but just generally as far as
I'm just saying if we're talking site-specific and the site's the specific that we're talking about has certain conditions attached to it and has a conditional use or has something else going on, an overriding zone, yeah, maybe we need to look at that. But if it's just, like you say, something that is tried on a farm somewhere.
Well, you mentioned one thing. There are projects that have conditional uses, they have specific conditions of approval, and if they need to amend those conditions of approval, they have to go back through the public hearing process to do that.
Right.
So it's a typical same example in this case.
With respect to that that use mentioned last week, does that site have its entire property under that conditional use?
Yes, it does.
The entire
unless they've acquired additional lands. What they That site was specifically a large track. I mean, a portion of it being used for that purpose other than roadways and railways. That's all. But there are a long list of conditions of approval.
And based on your understanding of that list of conditions, their desire to put this pilot project on that land would be out of conformity, correct?
Would be out of conformity with the conditions listed.
And you do have the ability also, you've told us before, that if there's a subtle change, you have the ability to.
I don't personally. The commission has the right to amend a minor change in a condition of approval.
Okay. But without going
very
through
specific,
the, without
the
going
condition,
through
not referencing any specific case, could be very specific. Mm-hmm. And being very specific, then it needs to go back through the process to amend it.
Well, that's fine. I'm just saying, in general, though, I would just think that situations like these. Call it a pilot program, experimental program, I don't care what you call it, until it crosses a certain line, I don't think, you know, we should be involved. I do think that they should be looked at by Department of Natural, you know, get certain maybe permits if they're required or something like that. I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't do that. But.
Wouldn't that put undue influence on a particular hearing about this if we had done that?
Done what?
Gotten that involved with a pilot program.
That's part of the issue if you try to draft an ordinance to cover pilot programs.
Right.
You know, number one, I don't know how you set the parameters to it. What if someone comes in and says, okay, I want an asphalt plant. There's new technology. They don't make any noise now. They don't smell. So that's one type of issue, you know, trying to put the parameter on it. But it seems to me that possibly, since this is the first time that it's really come up as an issue, that it's not a big issue all the years that Mr. Lank has been here. And secondly, that there are certain ways that certain uses can be handled, certain agricultural uses, and with the experimental farm and other places that pilot projects go on already. I'm not sure if it's something that, you know, we draft a specific ordinance for in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be difficult to, you're the policymakers, and it's up to you if we draft it.
I think we just leave it as a status quo and just stay away from it and let it work itself out. I don't know, what do you think, Lawrence?
Are you trying to say, George, it's hard to make chicken pudding out of chicken manure?
Sam, you're like the Will Rogers of Sussex County. You know that? I'm serious.
Any more comments from council?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Lank.
Thank how you ever got elected.
For taking the abuse of counsel. Now we're going to call Brandy forward. She can take the rest of the abuse.
Do you think we need a clerk of the peace?
No comment.
I was going to agree with you, George, but you did some nasty on one too.
This is already on. Good morning. I'm here today to just provide you with a brief update on the progress of our settlement requirements with HUD and the Department of Justice. Stephanie Hansen, Brad Whaley, Todd, and I have been working on several items that are due to HUD and DOJ at the end of this month that we just wanted to make you aware of. First, we have evaluated the analysis of impediments to fair housing choice in Sussex County for the years of 1998, 2003, and 2011. And we've compiled an outline of our path forward and how we plan to approach each of those impediments. Our action plan will be submitted to HUD and DSHA for review within the next week, and I'll come back to you as we begin to tackle each of those items. Next, as required by the consent decree from DOJ, we have put together a draft Sussex County Affordable and Fair Housing Marketing Plan, and this was should have been in your packet for review. And we modeled this document from other jurisdictions that were similar in size and authority to Sussex County. In brief, the plan outlines the Fair Housing Act and how to proceed if you feel as though your rights have been violated, the county's fair housing efforts to date, and a description of the county's proposed outreach efforts. As with the impediment plan, we will come back to you with updates on our progress with this plan. But with your approval, we will send this to DOJ for their review and input. If it pleases council, I can read a motion.
Yes, please.
Please read a motion, ma'am.
Okay. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the Sussex County Affordable and Fair Housing Marketing Plan as presented for the purpose of satisfying the consent decree.
I'll make a motion that we...
Motion for Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver, any questions on the motion?
I have a question.
Yes,
it
ma'am.
Might not pertain, but I need to, I'd like to know anyway. What kind of housing are we talking about? Is it, are we talking about mobile home parks? Are we talking about townhouses? Does it, we just say housing. What do we mean by that?
We're saying affordable housing. So
yes,
it's,
affordable
it's
housing.
Really...
What does that mean?
It means what's affordable to, I believe anything they consider affordable is below 80% of area median income.
Right, so it could be any kind of unit, could be mobile home park.
It could, whatever is, yes, an affordable resource for.
But we don't really control those costs.
Correct, but we, these are in respect to what we do control, so it's our outreach efforts as far as how we will proceed with affordable housing policy, so like our MPHU program, our rental program,
I understand
things like that. So that's how we will approach the affordable housing policies, and then just in general, a support of affordable housing.
Okay, that's as to sale price, right? Purchase price.
Yes, and any assistance and resources that would assist homeowners of that income achieve homeownership.
Right.
So it may not just be sales price; it could be receiving HUD-approved housing counseling. It could be receiving down payment assistance, any of those kind of resources.
But it has to be a purchase of a housing unit, does it not?
No, I mean rental. It's rental it, still. It encompasses rental too.
So then that's where the mobile home park would fit in as affordable housing, or not?
For some people, it may be, yes, but some people own their homes in the rental park, but yes, they don't own the land, so I suppose that the rental of the land may.
So it's yes and no, maybe.
That. Yes. If that makes sense. I'm sorry if that questions doesn't answer your question.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
So yes, motion carried.
Thank you. And then HUD has also asked us to amend our moderately priced housing unit ordinance to expand the income guidelines, which is sort of what we were just talking about. Currently, the program is available to persons that are between 80 and 125% of the area median income. The amendment, which was also included in your packet for review, would expand the program to persons that are between 50 and 125% of area median income. And so just as a reference, 50% of area median income today for 2013 in Sussex County for a household of four is about $29,750, and 80% is about $47,600. So it really expands the opportunity there for residents. if it pleases council, we can introduce the ordinance. That's
mm-hmm. Sure.
Yes.
You would need to read the short title.
Yes.
Does this change the intent of the program in such a fashion that?
Not at all, because it's still up to the participants in the program to attain a mortgage on their own. So it's really just a matter of their participation in our program, but they still are required to get financing and all that kind of stuff on their own. So it just expands who would be attaining it.
Mr. Ward, just read the short title. We got to do right.
Yes.
Yeah. Just read the short title.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 72, Article 1 of the Code of Sussex County by amending the definition and application of moderate income used to determine eligibility for moderately priced housing units.
So moved.
Second.
We need a motion and second, or just approve? Just
no, it's just someone to introduce the ordinance. Is all.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Mr. Coleman introduced it. Trying to help y'all again.
I'll second that too.
And then lastly, HUD has asked that we present to you a few successful models of affordable housing strategies that could couple with our existing affordable housing policies and programs to broaden their impact. And I have six of them for you to consider. And these are really just for discussion and consideration only at this time. And they were also in your packet. And just to briefly go over, one of the items that we discovered was what's called an anti-NIMBY policy, which you may be already familiar with the term NIMBY, which is not in my backyard. And it's something that we could just use to expand the fair housing policy that we've already put in place as a result of this settlement. And one of the ideas was to require public speakers or anyone that speaks to council to just sort of sign off on an acknowledgement that they understand that Sussex County Council does not make any land use or zoning decisions based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, or sex. Just, and that's something that if you agreed to, we could even consider approving that today, but really this is just for consideration. Then as far as inclusionary zoning, which is our MPHU and Sussex County rental programs, this has come up in the past, is that successful models of inclusionary zoning are successful because they are mandatory. And right now it's a voluntary program, as you're aware. So this is something that we could maybe consider in levels 1 and 2, just as an option. And option 2, as far for those programs, is improving the bonuses and densities that we offer to developers. Right now, all we offer is bonus density and expedited review, which in this market, the expedited review is not that great of a bonus because we don't really have a wait anymore. But one of the options to do that is to improve those is to defer the payment of impact or permitting fees for the affordable units of those projects until the developer receives the certificate of occupancy. We're actually waiving those fees. That's just some of the models that have been used for other inclusionary zoning ordinances, and even allowing for flexible design of the affordable units as far as setbacks and variances go. That's something that Lawrence would probably have to help me out with for that. Training, we have, it has come up actually that municipal officials and staff have really been interested in fair housing, and that might be something that we could offer here at the county, particularly since we do administer CDBG for many of these towns, so it would be something that would be beneficial to all of us, as well as lenders and realtors. Then for foreclosed subdivisions, it might be prudent for us to work with our own economic development department to come up with some sort of an incentive package for developers to purchase these foreclosed zombie subdivisions, as they're sometimes called, to provide affordable housing. This, as you know, many of them are have, you know, some infrastructure, but leave the rest of it. They go belly up or whatnot. So be a way to finish those, but with affordable housing. And then affordable housing outreach, basically considering drafting a letter that we would present or provide to affordable housing developers that request support that are located in areas identified by the housing authority as appropriate for affordable housing. So we would work with them to coordinate our support for those developers. And then creating a team of county employees from various departments, community development, planning and zoning, economic development, and administration to help sort of connect these affordable housing developers that come to the county with existing programs, not just from us, but the state or other nonprofit organizations. And then Brownfields, actually Stephanie is Hansen is the expert on this one, so she was going to mention a few words about that, if that's okay.
Thank you. This is actually on your agenda because the University of Delaware recently did a report. They released a report called their Center for Community Research. This is the same group that took a look at brownfields. Previously, the governor's office had asked a report be done by the University of Delaware to find out economically was there any benefit to the state from brownfield redevelopment, and they came back with the, I guess, probably now infamous line that for every dollar you spend on brownfield redevelopment, the government receives back and the community receives back $17.50 back in increased property taxes and increased jobs and property value around the community. So now the task of this group at UD was, okay, we've taken a look at economics. Tell us, has there been any social impact from all the brownfields redevelopment we've been doing? It's just part of their continuing to analyze, you know, the state spending a lot of money on brownfields, you know, $5 million a year. What are we getting in return? So this report was just released at the beginning of March about the social impact of brownfield redevelopment, and the key finding in the report was actually the most important finding was the addition of safe and affordable housing, which was viewed as a significant stabilizing influence in the community. So the thought here with putting this on the list of these things for consideration for council would be, you know, perhaps we want to look a little bit closer into this report, find out exactly what they looked at, what do they mean by a stabilizing community, how much in the way of affordable housing are we talking about, and see if it would have any applicability at all in Sussex County. So it's just kind of looking a little bit closer at the issue, since we do have at least a Delaware university saying that in Delaware it has increased affordable housing. So let's see if it has any could have any impact in Sussex.
And this is a requirement from what? Who?
Pardon me?
It's not required that we do this under
no,
DOJ
no.
or
this is just a suggestion as a potential tool to increase affordable housing efforts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the consent decree required that the Fair Housing
but
Compliance
this is part
Officer,
of that.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
bring gotcha. To council suggestions to increase mm-hmm. our affordable housing mm-hmm. and strategy. So she's
yes.
presented to you these six
sure.
kind of strategies.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Stephanie, you're as familiar with Sussex County as anybody. Do you really see it working down here? Of course, not as well as up in Newcastle.
Well, right? If you take yes, it could, particularly in the impacted communities, because some of those have areas like gas stations or old chicken mm-hmm. plants that aren't working anymore, or that haven't worked for a long time. Some kind of older commercial or industrial areas that, if they are turned then into residential, which is what they've seen happen in Newcastle, where they were doing the study, that actually turning of those old industrial facilities into townhouse communities and new apartment buildings in particular had a really a tremendous impact in that small community. What they actually found was that, you know, the LNI complaints increased, but that's because people became a lot more have more in the way of civic pride. They were more looking out for what's going on in their neighborhood. It brought new people into the area that also were keeping an eye on what's going on. So there was, you know, I think that we should look at it a little bit closer to see if it could have an impact in Sussex. I think it might.
But and wouldn't you think that would be in the municipalities rather than outside of it in the county?
Well, do we have impacted communities in the outside of the county? I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
We'll look at it.
Any more questions of council? I'm sure we'll want to. You'll want to read through these things and take under advisement what Brandy presented to us. And if we want to do something, we can come back later time and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Randy,
thank you
for all your hard work. Thank you very much.
I guess we probably should look sooner than later at the first thing that she talked about, the anti-NIMBY policy. It's pretty easy for us to accomplish. Is that something we could bring back relatively soon?
We could bring it back soon, or we could do it today. If you,
I don't know that we're
okay.
Wanting to do it
we
today.
Can bring it back and have it under consideration.
Okay.
The income, particularly? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Ashman.